Blog Talk Radio.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
And welcome back to another fun-filled day of Reese on the Radio right here live on blogtalkradio.com. 1 minute after the hour on the East Coast at 7:01 on this February 22nd, 2012. Plenty of news, but I'm only going to go over and over and over again about the people it is that I cannot stand. And today, on my enemies list, that's right, I don't have any fear about saying it, that's right, I have an enemies list. Much like Nixon, much like your current president, Barack Obama, I've got an enemies list. And my enemies list, that's right, it is the gay lobby, or as I like to refer to them, the gay mafia. I have an enemies list, that is mainstream media. They are on my enemies list. Also, black theology, your Al Sharptons, your Reverend Al Sharptons, your Reverend Jesse Jacksons, yes, they are on my enemies list. All liberals who like to lie and distort the truth, they are on my enemies list. That's right there, right there. And now another enemy. And I'll be going after them. I'll be going after them today because I will be playing you audio from a bit that I know a lot of people didn't see. Because there's a group out there that's fighting this group. And that group is called Planned Parenthood. They're the group out there aborting your little black babies in an alarming number. And I say your little black babies because there are probably some white people out there going, I don't have no black baby. Yes, they are your black babies. That's right. Because all babies are our babies. If we care, if we give a damn, and that's what we do, right? We give a damn. So they're all our babies. Now, you may not know that 33% of Planned Parenthood's abortions are in the black community. And that for a group that's only 13% of the population. That's 40 million people out of 310 million. How in the hell do African Americans make up 33%, a third, a whopping third of the abortions done by Planned Parenthood? How is that? How is this not called a genocide? Oh, I know why. Because people go in there and they purchase the abortions. That's right. They have the free will. They have the Supreme Court backing them. Roe v. Wade. And why would that be happening in this day and age? I remember when I was growing up, all they could tell us was that how the white man is trying to destroy the black man. Trying to destroy the black family. Trying to eradicate the Negro. That's all I heard growing up. I'm a product of 1969. I'm a 70s baby. That's all the black theology or the black theologians. That's all they could ever tell me. Don't trust the white man. The white man don't want you here. The white man is trying to eradicate us. It's genocide, I tell you. It's genocide. Bringing crack into our communities. Right? That's what they said, right? So 33% of their product, 33% of their profit, I should say, is coming out of the black community, even though we only make up 13% of the population. Latinos outnumber us. That's right. 2,000, they outnumbered us 2-1. But the African-American babies, whoo, that's a large number. 33%. How many abortions were there? JC, get that number for me, please. I need the number of abortions in 2009. Because I don't think 2010 numbers have come out yet. But if they have, get those numbers. 2009 or 2010, whatever numbers we can get for abortions by Planned Parenthood. Let's see what those numbers are. I think it's somewhere near 368,000. Somewhere around there. I'm almost certain of that. I'm guessing. And I rarely guess. I usually have these right in there, right in the old noggin. So I might be guessing there. But I'm certain it's a little over 300,000. It might be more. I could be dead wrong. But I'm positive that number's way up there. And hey, 33% of 360,000 children? Man, oh man, oh man. That's more than 100,000 black babies dying. That's more than 100,000 black babies dead. Aborted, as you libs like to say. Because you think that takes off that little, that stigma. That's what Barbara Walters was talking about today. Talking about getting rid of the stigma of illegitimate and bastard. What's our numbers, JC?
Wow. In 2009, I performed 332,278.
Okay, so that means, okay, it goes without a doubt. That's 110,000 black babies aborted. Ain't no denying it. That's not a genocide. But yet you Negroes are out there supporting Planned Parenthood. You're supporting them wholeheartedly. And if you're not supporting them, you damn sure not stepping up. If you really want to support what it is that I was taught as a child, that there is a genocide out there, there's a genocide to destroy, to diminish the amount of black people in this country, there it is in plain view. And they get government funded. So, if what it is really, really true, if what they're saying is really, really true, that all of those teachers, when I was growing up, who were telling me that the black man is being destroyed. That the black man, he's got to worry about whether or not he exists or can exist in this country. If that is really, really true, why has there been no outrage about the alarming number of black babies being killed at Planned Parenthood? Why is there no outrage? And they get government funding. JC, what was the amount that the government paid to Planned Parenthood last year? Or in 2009? I'm sure they got funding. Maybe that was a number. Maybe not a couple hundred mil. They got millions. I know they got millions of dollars. See if we can find out how much money they got. The number is 347-308-8701. We have to get into Planned Parenthood today. And I'm going to spend a majority of time talking about them. And I got audio. I got audio out there. There's a group out there that's trying to get the word out. Let people know how Planned Parenthood is targeting your kids, your little 10-year-old. Your babies. I've got no more babies, so I don't have to care about this. How much funding did Planned Parenthood get?
Wow. We're looking at $360 million in 2009.
$360 million. That's almost $1 million a day in 1 year. Now, do you think... Say again?
That's astonishing.
Of course it's astonishing. Don't you Negroes think that y'all could have dealt with that $1 million a day in your communities? Imagine all the good that could have been done in your communities. But they got $100 million, almost $100 million a day. I mean, $1 million.
That's a lot of $250 appointments.
Yeah. $360 million. That's $1 million, almost $1 million a day. Let me pull out my calculator. Let me get that right. What did you say? How much was that, JC? Give me that number again. Let's get this calculator out. Let's get the exact number. Let's get the calculator out. Give me that exact
number. We're talking $360 million that they received in government funding.
$360 million. One, two, three. One, two, three. Let's divide that number by 365 days. In a year, and what number do we get? Oh, wait a minute. I hate this. This is horrible. I can't even use this darn calculator. I'll use my own. I got my own calculator. Let's go. 360 million, 123, 123, divided by 365 days a year. And that means that the federal government gave, $986,000 a day. And there were over 330,000 abortions in 1 year. What in God's name is going on, ladies and gentlemen? What in God's name is going on? That Planned Parenthood can get that kind of money. That kind of money. Let's see that number again. Let me say that number one more time. $986,000 a day from the federal government. 33% of all abortions. That's 110,000 abortions in 1 year, 2009. Now, if I have to follow the Negro narrative, now, boy, you know that the white man don't want you here. And what's happening in our communities, boy, is genocide. And the white man and the white government is making sure that they eradicate the Negro. They're trying to kill us all. And then you find out that a government-funded company called Planned Parenthood gets $986,000 a day. Perform 330-some-odd-thousand abortions a year, and 33% of them are African-American babies, coming to a grand total of $110,000 a year, 110,000 children a year, that the government and Planned Parenthood are not involved in genocide, supported by a liberal agenda. Don't believe me? Listen up.
Do not let children watch this episode of the American Life League Report. When most people think of Planned Parenthood, they think of the babies it kills through abortion or the mountains of birth control it dispenses. But another side to Planned Parenthood, which should be equally considered, is its obsession with sex. Sex toys, sex contests, sex balloons, penis-shaped balloons, penis lollipops, penis cupcakes, vagina macaroons, vagina fruit roll-ups, giant vagina costumes. All of these things play a central role in Planned Parenthood's community activities. But what's truly shocking is how these perverts are allowed unfettered access to our children while raking in government cash to sell them unrestrained sex. Oh, Planned Parenthood will claim that what they teach kids is scientific and age-appropriate. But the fact of the matter is that age-appropriate is a standard concocted by Planned Parenthood itself so that it can sell pornography to kids as science. Why would they do this? Just as the goal of a drug dealer is to make drug addicts, Planned Parenthood's goal is to make sex addicts, and they follow the same business model. For instance, Planned Parenthood's gateway drug is masturbation. One of its primary resources for 10-year-olds is a book called It's Perfectly Normal, and it sells masturbation to kids with graphic images of naked boys and girls masturbating, men and women having sex, and even things like this, and this, and this. If a dirty old man showed these things to a 10-year-old kid in a park, he'd be arrested. But when Planned Parenthood shows them to kids in a classroom, it gets government money. But that's just the start. Once they get to high school, you know, right about the time that they hit puberty, Planned Parenthood tells vulnerable teens stimulating and intimate things about sex. Just look at what its website for teens says. The link to Our Bodies takes teens to a page that provides graphic displays of genitals and tells them about how pleasurable the clitoris is and how pleasurable breasts are to touch and massage. This section, on sex and masturbation, encourages boys and girls to masturbate and tries to dispel any embarrassment or hesitation in trying it. It also describes orgasms and encourages anal sex and oral sex. This section, titled LGBTQ, tells young teens that all sexual orientations are perfectly normal. The page on homosexuality, titled Coming Out, displays a teenage boy in an intimate pose with what appears to be an adult man. This section explains how to have gay sex using a condom, dental dam, and even plastic wrap. And for their viewing pleasure, Planned Parenthood's got a few things for teens to watch.
There's a penis on my body. Awesome!
Being gay is a little like being left-handed.
Any protection?
Yeah, of course.
Amen.
Now this is a clitoral hood. See it?
Now the rap better ring a rang dong. This is how the penis and vagina get along.
Go penis, go penis.
Winky trumpet curtain. Captain Winky's song.
Time to go inside and find out.
Inside the vagina?
Calm down, Pete. You're leaking again.
It's bad enough that Planned Parenthood is conditioning children to engage in sexual activity with the kind of stuff that we've just shown you. But Planned Parenthood of Upper Hudson's youth program, which includes children as young as 13, requires participants to be exposed to sexual deviancy on parade. Literally. Planned Parenthood of Upper Hudson's application form for the STARS program for high school kids states that students as young as 13 are required to attend Capital Pride. Capital Pride? Here's a sampling of what these kids were exposed to.
Need I say more, ladies and gentlemen? Need I say more?
I am appalled at the nature of their behavior.
JC, have you ever heard any of this? That Planned Parenthood was
involved
in?
Where the hell were they when I was a teen? I would have never paid to go to the movies. I would have stayed there.
Listen to me. You have to see the video. Now, I downloaded this from YouTube, which is where I got it. The original place where it was posted, it was actually deleted. They didn't want it. But I found a place where another guy had it posted and got it and downloaded it today. But you hear the stuff that they're telling. A 10-year-old being shown graphic images of people in cartoons having sex. And the bottom line is this. And he says it plainly. It's a very, very good point he makes. He says that they, you know, Planned Parenthood is selling sex very much the way that a drug dealer sells drugs.
You've got to be kidding me.
Dude, you have to
see
this video.
I have to see this video.
Listen, I will, let me see if I can get you the, I'm going to get the link for you right now on YouTube.
Is it on YouTube?
It is on YouTube. The title of it is called, look it up, it's called How Planned Parenthood Hooks Kids on Sex. And when you see it, trust me, watch the video. It's about 6 minutes long. I played, like, some of the most damaging things that are in there. Because it's really, that's why he says in the beginning, don't let your children watch this. But it doesn't matter, because Planned Parenthood's websites, they have cartoons. You have a guy running around in a penis costume, and that rap when he was going, he's like, dip dang dong, this is how the penis and vagina get along. It's actually showing a woman dancing around with a vagina, a guy walking around with an erect penis costume, and he gets on the floor and starts humping it, and this is for kids. You got it.
I found it.
Yeah, you found
it. I found it.
That's the one. Kool-Aid Man Montgomery is on the line. James Montgomery, so you've heard most of this video. What do you think? I think his phone is awful.
I think he's gone.
Yeah.
Sounded like the entity on that phone.
Yeah, sure enough did. Yeah, so you watch the video. We'll take a break, JC, so you can get an opportunity to watch the video. We'll take an extended break, and we'll come back in a little bit. The number is 347-308-8701. I have to tell you guys a conversation that I had online about this and other things when we get back. And, of course, we've got the conviction of that woman who sent her kid to a school in Connecticut that he wasn't supposed to go in because he wasn't zoned in it. And she's going to be sent to prison for a lengthy amount of time. We'll play that report for you as well when we get back on Resona Radio. Stick around. We'll be back.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul.
Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale.
Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th.
New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward.
Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
On the radio, we're back. We are live on blogtalkradio.com/reeseontheradio. The number is 347-308-8701. So, JC.
Wow.
You watched the video, right?
What's that?
You got an opportunity to watch the video, right?
Dude, listen. Very few times in my life I've never been speechless.
I thought you would be.
Especially being a parent, the last time I recall my jaw hitting the floor like this was when the plane went into the second tower.
Yeah, I understand the feeling. It's an utter shock. We're talking
but you
about.
But
no, let me just reintroduce. We're talking about Planned Parenthood in a video that came out about how Planned Parenthood is targeting your kids, and we'll play the audio again. Mary, of course, is with us. Mary, why are you bugging? Is here with us, and she hasn't had an opportunity to listen to the video. We'll play that again. But JC has just watched the video.
I'm sick to my stomach, dude.
What was the most alarming thing that you saw so far in that video, from based upon what we played?
Just how graphic it is.
Yes.
And the levels of I guess they call it age-appropriate graphics because they happen to show pictures of penises and vaginas as though they were drawn in crayon for the younger kids.
Right,
and they get and then the graphics get a little more better as they discuss the older kids and all the way up through college. College, they described. I mean, the whole college and the Vox program is a pure party.
Right, and the idea is this is a part of the indoctrination, and the bottom line is that you're selling sex for one reason and one reason alone. Because look,
and that is to create their own demand.
That's right. You're creating a demand. You have sex, you get pregnant, you have to have an abortion. And look who's here. So in essence, what they're doing is they're selling you the drug and the rehab at the same time.
Right.
Let's get James in on it. James, you listened to the audio. What did you think?
I listened to the audio, and even though I haven't seen the video, I can say that it is a little bit shocking, but nowadays it almost has to be. Children are learning, regardless of whether it's from Planned Parenthood, children are learning earlier and earlier. So something has to be done. You know, because I talk to my own children in my family and the children around my own neighborhoods. You hear them talking about what's gay and what's not. You hear them talking about sexual acts and genitalia. These are 10-year-olds who are talking about this.
I understand that. Do you think that these particular things should be done by a government entity? Should the government be allowed to distribute books that show graphic images of female and male genitalia?
I think it needs to be taken out of the shadows. And apparently, and it seems apparent to me, that the majority of parents are not. Someone has to, because the kids are getting it anyway, and they're getting it from all the wrong sources and getting all the wrong information.
So government intervention.
Dude, hold on, James. Is anyone who isn't the type that can have that conversation with their child, that's the last place they would want to send them.
Yeah, this is the last place.
That's the absolute last place. Now, I didn't know a great deal about Planned Parenthood at all. But after watching the video, and I mean, the verdict for me is still out, because I'd like to explore their websites and see what it is that they have on their websites if make sure that this is not simply made up by a pro-life group. So, I mean, I still have to do my homework on it, but from what I've seen, if any of this is true, they're forcing your kids' curiosity. They're telling your kids.
But your kids are already curious. That's just it. All right. Now I'm
I
haven't seen the video.
Curious, they're curious. They're talking, but they're encouraging.
Yes. That what
they're encouraging.
Look, since Mary just chimed in, and I want to hear her perspective on this. Let's play the audio one more time. We'll play about 4 minutes of it, so she can get a grasp of what it is that they're playing.
Do not let children watch this episode of the American Life League Report. When most people think of Planned Parenthood, they think of the babies it kills through abortion, or the mountains of birth control it dispenses. But another side to Planned Parenthood, which should be equally considered, is its obsession with sex. Sex toys, sex contests, sex balloons, penis-shaped balloons, penis lollipops, penis cupcakes, vagina cakes, vagina macaroons, vagina fruit roll-ups, giant vagina costumes. All of these things play a central role in Planned Parenthood's community activities. But what's truly shocking is how these perverts are allowed unfettered access to our children while raking in government cash to sell them unrestrained sex. Oh, Planned Parenthood will claim that what they teach kids is scientific and age-appropriate. But the fact of the matter is that age-appropriate is a standard concocted by Planned Parenthood itself so that it can sell pornography to kids as science. Why would they do this? Just as the goal of a drug dealer is to make drug addicts, Planned Parenthood's goal is to make sex addicts, and they follow the same business model. For instance, Planned Parenthood's gateway drug is masturbation. One of its primary resources for 10-year-olds is a book called It's Perfectly Normal, and it sells masturbation to kids with graphic images of naked boys and girls masturbating, men and women having sex, and even things like this, and this, and this. If a dirty old man showed these things to a 10-year-old kid in a park, he'd be arrested. But when Planned Parenthood shows them to kids in a classroom, it gets government money. But that's just the start. Once they get to high school, you know, right about the time that they hit puberty, Planned Parenthood tells vulnerable teens stimulating and intimate things about sex. Just look at what its website for teens says. The link to Our Bodies, takes teens to a page that provides graphic displays of genitals and tells them about how pleasurable the clitoris is and how pleasurable breasts are to touch and massage. This section, on sex and masturbation, encourages boys and girls to masturbate and tries to dispel any embarrassment or hesitation in trying it. It also describes orgasms and encourages anal sex and oral sex. This section, titled LGBTQ, tells young teens that all sexual orientations are perfectly normal. The page on homosexuality, titled Coming Out, displays a teenage boy in an intimate pose with what appears to be an adult man. This section explains how to have gay sex using a condom, dental dam, and even plastic wrap. And for their viewing pleasure, Planned Parenthood's got a few things for teens to watch.
There's a penis on my body. Awesome!
Being gay is a little like being left-handed.
Any protection?
Yeah, of course.
Amen.
Now this is a clitoral hood. See it?
Now the rap better ring a rang dong. This is how the penis and vagina get along.
Go penis, go penis.
Winky trumpet curtain. Captain Winky's song.
Time to go inside and find out.
Inside the vagina?
Calm down, Pete. You're leaking again.
It's bad enough that Planned Parenthood is conditioning children to engage in sexual activity with the kind of stuff that we've just shown you. But Planned Parenthood of Upper Hudson's youth program, which includes children as young as 13, requires participants to be exposed to sexual deviancy on parade. Literally. Planned Parenthood of Upper Hudson's application form for the STARS program for high school kids states that students as young as 13 are required to attend Capital Pride. Capital Pride? Here's a sampling of what these kids were exposed to. Is it any wonder that 1 in 4 teenage girls has an STD? All this exposure to sex takes place before graduation from high school. When these kids go to college, they'll be bombarded with sex-themed parties put on by Planned Parenthood Vox groups. Here's a brief look at some of the different ways Planned Parenthood spills its pornographic material to undergrads. Like this poster of a penis monster attacking a naked girl in a condom bubble. Is this image from a Vox party something that Planned Parenthood considers medically accurate? Here's Planned Parenthood doing its part in reducing men and women to sex objects. A party with no pants and free safe sex kits? That just screams date rape. Maybe a Planned Parenthood sex workshop about pleasure, desire, and orgasms is more age appropriate. At least your sons and daughters can enjoy the vulva puppet show and leave with a free sex toy. What Planned Parenthood education booth would be complete without a fisting kit for homosexual college and teenage students? But hey, America can sleep well knowing that its tax money is being put to good use, right? This is what Planned Parenthood is all about. Get the kids addicted to sex so it can sell them birth control. When teens catch a sexually transmitted disease, it sells them testing services. And when a young girl gets pregnant, it sells her an abortion. This isn't education, it's indoctrination intended to drum up Planned Parenthood's abortion business. Help us break the cycle. Go to American Life League's Action Center to find out what you can do to stop the madness. For American Life League, I'm Michael Hitchborn.
Now, all I'm asking is, and I played the entire thing, Mary, since we've all had something to say, and you didn't see the video, you just heard the audio.
I didn't need to see the video. I'm afraid to watch the video.
Oh, you're going to watch it. Yeah, you have to watch it.
I'm at a loss for words. With a fisting kit?
Yeah, that stood out, didn't it? I'm surprised JP didn't mention that one.
A fisting kit?
That's the one that got me.
And the little hip hop rhyme that they do.
Yes.
This is
how the penis and the vagina get along.
Yeah. You know, wow, jump in.
Go penis.
What the hell is going on? I had no idea that Planned Parenthood was doing these things. I honestly, I, I was blinded by that.
Blinded by it? JC, what was
the
number?
I had no clue.
You weren't here. JC, what was the number that we found out for federal funding to Planned Parenthood in 2009? What was the number?
$360 million.
A year.
Yeah,
well, no wonder we're in such debt because it's all going to Planned Parenthood.
That's
it ought to be planned pornography.
Yeah, that's right. More than $250 million is being sent to Planned Parenthood, and this is what it is that they're funding.
And the most disturbing thing to me is, okay, at a ripe young age, the age groups that they are targeting. 10.
That's a ripe young age?
13. I mean, these kids need to be thinking about getting A's and B's and being, you know, academically
well, that's
coached.
The one thing that I don't think I heard them mention.
Yeah, they didn't
remember what he says. He's not just – and again, what we said about Planned Parenthood – I want to get James in on this one, on this particular part. What he says about Planned Parenthood is look, if you're selling sex – which is exactly what Planned Parenthood is doing. And James, I'll ask you. You can comment on this, and I'd love to hear your take on it. The argument that's being made with this group is that Planned Parenthood is selling sex to kids. Therefore, in order to make a profit through selling what it is, you know, birth control, STD medication, and of course abortion. Can't it be? I mean, can't you agree with that, James? That clearly, there has to be a bottom line. I'm sure they're selling these things because, you know, they're selling this product or they're hooking kids on sex so that they can get their bottom line.
You know,
That's funny to you.
I agree on a certain aspect that, yeah, there has to be a bottom line. Going too far is going too far, period. All right, no matter what you're trying to do, whether it's a noble or self-serving goal. But I think when you're trying to say that you're trying to get a kid addicted to sex, well, again, kids at that age were already curious about it. I know I was. Right? I knew at 13, as I was telling JC when we went a little bit ago, I know at 13 I was in the bathroom. For 2 and 3 hours at a time.
Sure,
okay?
You were.
So,
but that was a natural. But no, James, the reason why
right.
you were in
a. Again, the natural thing, all right, and yet.
James, that's just called puberty. But hold on. Why were you in the bathroom? Why were you doing it in privacy? Not because so much that there was a shame, that you were exploring your body privately.
No.
The reason, yes, James. Because that's the reason why we called them private parts when we were kids. Because you were privately exploring your body.
And listen,
but there was.
Okay,
but the thing
James.
Is, there was a shame attached to it.
Yes,
sure
there
was.
Sure, there was a purely natural thing, and everyone did it.
James, no. You're using the word shame as a pejorative. James, you're using the word shame as a pejorative. There's nothing wrong with.
Sure, because you didn't go and talk about it to your friends. You didn't say, hey, look, you know, guess what I've been doing or whatever. And, you know, there was, even though, you know, there was a shame to it, it still didn't stop me.
I talked about it with my girlfriends. We talked about stuff like
but
that.
But, James, what you're saying is, and I hear what you're saying, that because there was a shame attached to it, and what Planned Parenthood is trying to do is get rid of the stigma, right?
Correct.
Right, and you think that having a stigma is bad, right?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, stigma.
I mean,
stigma is a pejorative, right? Stigma is a negative word.
Yeah,
isn't it? It's really is, and it's right because if we just deal with it in a freestyle kind of way, because if we just, hey, masturbation's okay, everybody's doing it, let's not be ashamed anymore because shame is bad also, right?
Let's sit in the living room and do it right in front of our parents.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, this is what I'm talking about. Everybody has this knee-jerk reaction that you have to go from one extreme to the total opposite.
James,
listen. This organization, first of all, or may I use your term, first and foremost, is called Planned Parenthood.
Planned.
What part? What Planned Parenthood. There are 1 in 4 teenagers with STD. I don't think you're being too proactive, okay? Yeah. Planned is being proactive. That is a part of being proactive. There is no planning about this. The only thing these kids are planning to do when they see these videos or hear this information is planning on having sex, whether it be protected or not.
They're planning on having sex anyway.
It's better than that. It gets better
than
that.
Yes, they are going to have sex anyway, James. I'm not saying that kids are not going to have sex. Listen, I was sexually active at a very early age, or probably all of us in this on this show tonight were. I'm sure that there are whatever. I don't believe that for one minute.
I'm serious.
Anyway. Well, maybe that's why. Okay. Well.
And I was, too.
I would say that.
But no. Here's what my point is. And you make a valid point, Mary. Here's what it is that I'm arguing, James. Why is Planned Parenthood, as Mary just suggested, Planned Parenthood preaching everything that is pro-sex and no alternatives? Why are there no preachings of abstinence?
Because abstinence has been taught. Abstinence has been, for a number of years, been the go-to
to receive government
thing.
Funding. To receive
and it
government
isn't working.
James, to receive government funding, you must be bipartisan. You must have no leanings. This is a pro-sex leaning group. They are not preaching abstinence, and there are people in this country who are pro-abstinence. And for Planned Parenthood to only be preaching pro-sex and not pro-abstinence, and they're receiving government money, again, it is a propaganda machine. Think about that, James. They're pushing an agenda, but it's only one. We should have 2 agendas being pushed, and that's just not pro-sex, but pro-abstinence as well, and they're not doing it.
And this, again, is called Planned Parenthood. Isn't this supposed to be helping people plan to become a parent, to go into parenthood?
Yeah, exactly.
This is not called planned pornography sex party for kids. I mean, and
it's not called planned abortion.
I'm not sure. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me just comment on Barry's just comment. How do you become a parent? Is there any other way?
How do you become what you should do when you're becoming a parent is hopefully planning on becoming a parent.
We want to have a baby. Let's have sex to have a baby.
Yes, we know that the act is having sexual intercourse. We all know that. We're all well aware of that. But the
it does involve sex.
It does involve sex,
planned.
But it doesn't involve sex
planned
with 10-year-olds or 13-year-olds.
Exactly. There you go. Very good.
But 10-year-olds, okay, 10-year-olds and 13-year-olds, right, especially nowadays, are having sex, are they not?
But that doesn't make it right, James.
They can't plan parenting.
I never said it was right. I never said it was right. I'm just saying that if we're going to deal with it, deal with it. All right? Everyone still wants to stick their head in the sand like it's not happening.
It is happening. We know that it's happening. But do you want your 13-year-old son to go into Planned Parenthood and for them to give him a fisting kit so that he can get fisted in his anus?
Well, that actually happens in college, not when he's 10.
Well, no, it can happen at any age.
But no, I was saying.
Oh,
yeah,
those kits are
given
out.
Given out in college.
Oh, okay. Now, so you've gone through what you needed to go through with the penis.
Yeah, I would have.
Vagina.
I'm not gonna lie.
Now it's okay for you to go to penis.
Yeah,
I'm
having a little problem with Planned Parenthood having access to one of my children at college, and them being handed a fisting kit.
I mean, these people. You should be thinking
at
about.
A party.
You should be thinking about academics. You should be thinking about making something better of your life. You should be thinking about getting to where you should be able to be a kid. And kids should not be having sex at this age, nor should it be brought to their attention that it's okay. We know you're going to do it anyway. So let's show you a little show. Here's the penis, here's the vagina, the penis and the vagina.
No, I mean, the problem is the education for it has to start at home. Somebody needs to step up to their plate and have that conversation with their kids.
Exactly, JC.
Okay.
But unfortunately, that doesn't happen.
Unfortunately, it doesn't happen. But this
a lot
is
of
not,
people don't know how to have that conversation with their kids.
But
my problem.
And the thing is, all right. And if you're going to have the conversation, how do you have the conversation without actually talking about sex? But I'm talking about penises and vaginas.
They're giving out pornographic material.
Yeah, and James, who is Planned Parenthood or the government to say that these conversations are not happening in the household? How is it that the government can deem that these conversations aren't happening in the household? In fact, every year, the new numbers for teen pregnancy seem to be going down, James. Who is to say that these conversations aren't happening in the household? How did the government...
And who is to say that that these numbers aren't going down because of the initiative of Planned Parenthood?
It's not.
There's no
it's
truth to
not.
That.
But how do you know that?
Because
how do you know that? Show me the proof.
Well, maybe it is because they're teaching you about anal sex, so you can't get pregnant if you're having anal sex.
Yeah, they also teach about masturbation. You can't get pregnant if you're doing yourself either.
Well, that's great. So then everybody masturbate. Let's all do it together.
Do you think that 10-year-olds should see graphic images, be they cartoons or not, be they illustrations? Should 10-year-olds be seeing adult people have sex, graphic images? Should there be images of penis and vaginas erect? Should these things be handed out for 10-year-olds?
I'm saying, again, I haven't seen the video. I don't know if it goes overboard. All I'm saying is that there should be a narrative here. There should be a discussion. And the thing is, there are phallic symbols everywhere you look nowadays.
That's got nothing to do with the question that I asked you. I asked you whether or not you're comfortable with a 10-year-old. Your nephew is 9. Are you comfortable with him seeing graphic images in a children's book of penises and vagina and adults having sex and masturbation? Yes or no?
No, I'm never going to be comfortable with that.
Okay, so then you're opposed that a government-funded organization is giving that material to your children in school and the government is allowing it. The government is saying that they have free rein on your 10-year-olds, on 10-year-olds, to see these images. Are you okay with that or not?
I'm saying that, again...
No. I get your issue, James, and I get it. We don't have to argue about that anymore. Your issue is that we need to have an open and frank discussion about sex with our children so that they are not misinformed. I get it, and I agree. Now, are you okay with what it is that Planned Parenthood is doing by showing graphic images of sexual deviance in any regard, showing adults having sex in illustrations, showing pictures of penis and vagina, showing masturbation in children's books? Are you okay with that?
Maybe not children's books.
But that's what they're doing. But that is exactly what they're doing. They're selling children pornographic books or giving them out.
That's allegedly, though. That's allegedly.
All of that research is on their website. After I saw this video 2 weeks ago and went to their website, and everything that this man claims in the video is there. Everything.
If it is, they ought to be ashamed of themselves.
If you go to Planned Parenthood on YouTube, you go to all of the pro Planned Parenthood videos, they all show the same images, and they say, this is what children need to see.
It's unbelievable to me. If anybody showed my child this material or even thought about talking to her about this material, I would have a conniption fit. It is my responsibility as a parent to talk to my kids and educate them on what sex is and on what can happen to them and how to, if they're going to have sex, how to have, you know, how to have protected sex, how to be able to come to me as their mother or come to their father and talk to us about it. There is no way in hell that I want some creep working for some government agency that could possibly be a child molester or who's working for these, you know, you don't know who you're getting. I don't want these strange people talking about something so intimate with my child. I'm not having that.
James, go ahead.
Huh?
No, what were you saying? Were you going to say something?
Again, there it goes. The knee jerk, go for the fear factor. All right? Look, you know.
Not
yes.
a fear. That's my right as a parent. I chose to have this child, and this child is mine, and I am responsible for this child. And therefore, it is my responsibility as a parent to teach them about life. It is not anyone, especially when it comes to something that is that private and that intimate. I would never want anybody, I wouldn't even want my mother or my sister or my cousin or anyone else for that matter sitting down and talking to my child about something like that. Quite frankly, I'd be like, what the hell do you think you're doing? Are you a creep? I mean, what's going on? That is my responsibility. And if you don't know how to sit down and talk to your kids, then I suggest you take a class or you educate yourself so that you can sit down and have that conversation with your children.
I agree with that. The bottom line is it's the parents' responsibility first. Nobody should supersede that just because they believe that parents aren't teaching their children.
And it's one thing to
it's
teach.
Not it's well, hold on. That belief is backed up by a growing numbers of young kids going about sex in all the wrong ways.
Where's that statistic? That statistic, it can't be backed up. That statistic cannot be backed up. No, it can't be. How do you know? Where is the survey? Where is the scientific study that children are engaging in sexual acts? Scientific. That are engaging in sexual acts.
Scientific.
No, there's none, James. There's no evidence to support
it. Okay. The boom in children having children, that's scientific. That's quantifiable.
But okay, so what is Planned Parenthood? Wait a minute, James. Children having children. What is Planned Parenthood doing to combat that?
Well, let's put JC to the task. Let's do this, okay? What we'll do is we'll go to a break. JC, if you can, I want you to do this. If you can give me the number of teenage pregnancies, that's anything below the age of 18, between 13 and 18, even 12 to 18, the number of pregnancies within that group, within the past year, the last statistic that was actually brought out, how many children were actually pregnant during the last given total? The last given total.
Hold on, James.
On top of that, JC, let's get the number of children within that age group in the country at the time. So in other words, how many children were in the age group of 12 to 18, how many children there were, and how many in that number of those children ended up pregnant? We'll see. Let's decipher what the two numbers were based on those numbers, and we'll see whether or not, because that would prove your point, James.
I want to know, also, let's just, you know, let's not limit it with pregnancies. How much or how young kids are nowadays when they're first introduced to even the notion of sex?
Well, we can't, there's no way to even get a statistical number for that.
Well,
there's no way to do that.
Babies touch themselves.
What did she say? Babies touch themselves?
Hey, listen. You tell that woman if she wants to join the conversation, get on the phone.
We need another woman's perspective anyway, because since I'm the
only
one.
It sounds like
here.
She agrees with you. Does she agree with you?
Of course she does. It's her husband.
Why? Whoa! What?
That sounded like the same thing to me. I kind of
wow.
It sounded like she agreed with you.
No, look. Whether she did or not, just because I'm her husband doesn't mean she has to agree with me.
Well, it just sounded like she did. That's all.
I was teasing you, James.
We'll take a break.
I mean, she does have an opinion on her own, does she not?
I know.
Well, tell her to call 347-08-8701 and give us her opinion live on air.
Yeah, we'll take a break. We'll be right back before this. And a politician who's in Indiana is actually going after the group because of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Hey, I'm a little man. It's
sleeping
like a
snow.
And everywhere that Mary went, from there
we're
sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Reese on the Radio. We're back on this February 22nd, 2012. The number is 347-308-8701, and we're pretty much taking a hatchet to the Planned Parenthood group. This is a story that I saw actually a couple of days ago, and I thought that it was sort of correlating with the story. Apparently, Indiana State Rep. Bob Morris has gone viral for sending a ranting letter to federal Republican lawmakers warning that Girl Scouts of America is making their daughters more receptive to the pro-abortion agenda. He wrote in an attempt to stop resolutions celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Girl Scouts. He wrote, after a small amount of web-based research, Morris discovered that Girl Scouts of America is in cahoots with Planned Parenthood and a radically pro-abortion Michelle Obama. Girl Scouts promote homosexual lifestyles. A list of 50 Girl Scout role models include only three with briefly mentioned religious background. All of the rest are feminists, lesbians, or communists. He ends his treatise with a vow to yank his daughters from the Girl Scouts troop and enroll them in American Heritage Girls Little Flowers organization instead. After a small amount of web-based research, I'm pretty sure American Heritage Girls Little Flowers organization is something he just invented. It's an amalgamation of two separate groups' names. I guess he's entitled to his opinion, a fellow legislator who himself is a former, who herself is a former Girl Scout, saying that they are outselling cookies, not sex and abortion. But, truth be told, there was an investigation many weeks ago on Fox News by one of the girls who was a Girl Scout member who decided that she no longer wanted to be a part of Girl Scouts of America because she found out that on their website that a couple of the groups that they were associated with were directly attached to Planned Parenthood. And that was the reason why she left. Now, again, why wouldn't Planned Parenthood target a group like Girl Scouts of America? Why wouldn't they?
Of course, why wouldn't they? I mean, it's a huge group of girls.
I mean, that's what Planned Parenthood, that's who it is that they target. They target women. And from what it is that we just
heard... Not only do they target women, they target very, very young.
Oh, absolutely.
Women.
Absolutely.
Girls.
The indoctrination is abundantly clear.
Eat cookies and have sex.
So, James, do you not believe that the Girl Scouts of America are attached to Planned Parenthood?
It's the Girl Scouts. Oh, come on, man. Really? Really? You're just going to find people are just trying to find links to their own agendas in everything. The Girl Scouts? All right,
what?
So I guess you're going to tell me that the Boy Scouts are promoting homosexuality.
Hey, Planned Parenthood is promoting homosexuality. Not only are they promoting homosexuality, but they're promoting homosexuality between little boys and older men.
little boys and older. Well, now again, I haven't seen that picture, so I don't know, and I'm not. And I'm going to reserve my right to comment until I can actually make an informed decision on that. Until
okay.
I actually see what I'm talking about.
Okay. If I may, there is a group that's called HonestGirlScouts.com. Apparently, according to this, that this young lady, and that's the girl right there, she is boycotting the Girl Scouts of America. And she's boycotting them because Planned Parenthood, United Nations, and Girl Scouts, a history of friendship, a timeline of connection throughout the years. And I'm going to that website now. In 1967, Children and Youth National Planning and Development in Asia by UNICEF lists WAGS and IPPF as fellow NGOs. Hold on, let me get to their recent thing. Family Planning Meeting Challenges Promoting Choices by Pamela Sanagyaki. Ronald Lewis Kleinman International Planned Parenthood Federation includes the following admissions that Girl Scouts deliver up girls as youth leaders to participate in Planned Parenthood activities. This project began in 1990 with funding provided by the United Nations Population Fund. It is coordinated by the International Planned Parenthood Federation, the IPPF, in collaboration with the World Health Organization, the League of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, and World Assembly of Youth, the World Association of Girl Guides and Girl Scouts, the Women's Organization of the Scout Movement, and the World Young Women's Christian Association, that is the YWCA. In Senegal, Zalyoun was developed during a national five-day workshop in which people from WAGS, WOSM, and WMCA, national NGOs, and representatives of five government ministries participated. During the subsequent 4 days of this participatory workshop, the youth leaders from the NGOs identified their problems and needs in reproductive health and then devised strategies in the form of Exalyoun to address these. Aims and objectives: training youth leaders in communication, sex education, contraception, abortion, sexuality, sexually transmitted diseases, pregnancy, sexual relations, childbirth, child care, etc. This is going all the way back to 1967. In fact, to get their latest, let's go to 2011. Abby Johnson, former Planned Parenthood director, who left her job after seeing and assisting an abortion for the first time, states on her Facebook page that the Girl Scouts supports Planned Parenthood. Fact: Girl Scouts of America supports Planned Parenthood, supports Girl Scouts, support abortion. Abby Johnson's other Facebook page, Unplanned by Abby Johnson, has the following. GSA says Planned Parenthood to go and give educational talks and to print educational materials. There is a money exchange. Now, again, there's no association with the Girl Scouts of America and Planned Parenthood?
All right. I'm just saying you're going to see it.
No, James. You deny any association with the two. There is a timeline from 1967 that works all the way to 2011. There's a timeline listed right here on that website, HonestGirlScouts.com, a timeline, a complete breakdown of their association with Planned Parenthood, even by
right,
a former director.
Just because they're associated doesn't mean that you're indoctrinating children to have abortions.
What should they be there for?
James, the Girl Scouts, GSAs, which is Girl Scouts of America, are paying. They are paying Planned Parenthood to go and give speeches that are teaching people about sex and contraception and everything else that Planned Parenthood teaches. They're paying them.
Well, the Girl Scouts of America isn't anything about that. Isn't the Girl Scouts of America supposed to teach you, like, merit badges and how to tie a rope in a, you know, with a fisher knot and, you know,
sell
cookies? Get a sewing badge.
How to make America fatter.
Yeah, I mean,
good ass cookies.
Yeah, right?
Oh,
hey, I'm telling you, man, them Thin Mints, there's something in them.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, there's something in them. They're like crack.
Yeah, There probably is something in them, and it's probably sexually related.
The bottom line is...
Well, they are made of chocolate.
Hey.
Well,
hey.
The bottom line is that here's the direct association with the Girl Scouts of America. Why wouldn't they be a prime target for Planned Parenthood? I mean, don't you think they're going to grasp themselves or link themselves to every girl or woman organization there is? Remember, what they keep saying that they promote is women's health.
Right, and it's Girl Scouts of America. So if you're going to be doing that anyway, then yeah, you're going to attach yourself with your demographic, of course.
Okay, but James, if they're promoting women's health and they're promoting, you know, all these good things, then why one in every four? They're, obviously, it's not working because one in every four teenagers...
Girls
have STDs.
What I find amazing is, here's the part that I don't understand. Wait. Here's the thing that I don't understand. When I was growing up, and I'm going to use an old folklore. When I was growing up, every young boy only had their sights on the Catholic school girl. Isn't that a fact?
Say again?
Didn't every young boy, you and I alike, when we were younger, when we were kids, didn't every guy have their sights on a Catholic school girl?
Or fantasize?
And why do we fantasize about the Catholic school girl? Because
they were freaks.
Because they were what?
Yeah.
Because they were pure
or forbidden.
When have you ever heard
a guy talk about when they were kids? When have you ever heard
they had reputations that preceded them?
Exactly. When did you ever hear about guys say, if you knew a girl was in the Girl Scouts, you knew that she wasn't screwing around.
No.
Green dresses were not attractive. They were the girls nobody would touch because they're Girl Scouts. They believe in honor and respect, and they keep the, you know, they were the ones who definitely kept the bare ass between their knees.
And
okay?
They might choke you up.
Yeah. But the bottom line is that Girl Scouts were considered the purest of the pure. Catholic school girls, people were interested in them only because of the fact that they were the hardest, most guys thought, to get with because they had Catholic values.
And those
The general consensus was is that the more being that they were Catholic, you know, you get them behind closed doors, and the Catholic went out the window.
Yeah. Okay, all in theory. I mean, guys had that stupid theory that Catholic girls were the freakiest.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that.
Were they not?
I don't know anything about that.
I did.
I've never been with one Catholic schoolgirl.
James.
It doesn't mean that when I was a kid I didn't want to. Of course, they were cute as hell.
And why did they run around in miniskirts?
That's a good question.
I mean, no, miniskirts and almost thigh high.
Yes, it almost seems like how it ended up turning
and
into
like an oxymoron.
Right, it's extreme
oxymoron because, you know, I mean, it just seemed like they went out of their way to make them as enticing as possible.
Exactly. Those white socks that came up to the knees, those plaid minis.
Sure, bishops were still looking.
Tight white shirts. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, if I throw a glass of water on her, we'll have a wet t-shirt contest.
I cannot believe this is coming out of a woman's mouth.
No, I mean, I didn't look at them like that, but I can imagine that that's how guys look
yes,
at them.
Yes, guys did. Of course we did. I mean, guys are guys.
And guys still, like, oh, dress up in the... Dress up in the
naughty school girl outfit. Come on.
Put your hair in pigtails.
I'm feeling it snoring right now.
You're
hit
feeling
me,
what?
Baby, one more time.
Oh, did she have a schoolgirl outfit on?
Yes, she did. And she had her hair
yes.
pigtailed.
When she first came out, that was it. That's how her whole career started. She was in, you know, had that naughty schoolgirl thing going on.
She was in the school, throwing herself up against the lockers.
I don't know how anybody liked that song, Hit Me Baby One Time. I didn't like that song because it promoted abuse.
No, but it was promoting sexual abuse.
I'm not hitting you,
baby. Hey, it's not abuse if she's asking for it.
Oh, my
God. She's asking to be abused.
You better get it on tape.
Hey, it's not abuse. It's a fetish.
Back then, it was a problem. But she's of age now.
Hey. How did we get to the whole... Listen.
Anyway, the bottom line
Planned Parenthood is crap. And they ought to be shut down.
Absolutely. Anyway, we'll play the video. We'll go to a break. We'll be back.
Do not let children watch this episode of the American Life League Report. When most people think of Planned Parenthood, they think of the babies it kills through abortion or the mountains of birth control it dispenses. But another side to Planned Parenthood, which should be equally considered, is its obsession with sex. Sex toys, sex contests, sex balloons, penis-shaped balloons, penis lollipops, penis cupcakes, vagina macaroons, vagina fruit roll-ups, giant vagina costumes. All of these things play a central role in Planned Parenthood's community activities. But what's truly shocking is how these perverts are allowed unfettered access to our children while raking in government cash to sell them unrestrained sex. Oh, Planned Parenthood will claim that what they teach kids is scientific and age-appropriate. But the fact of the matter is that age-appropriate is a standard concocted by Planned Parenthood itself so that it can sell pornography to kids as science. Why would they do this? Just as the goal of a drug dealer is to make drug addicts, Planned Parenthood's goal is to make sex addicts, and they follow the same business model. For instance, Planned Parenthood's gateway drug is masturbation. One of its primary resources for 10-year-olds is a book called It's Perfectly Normal, and it sells masturbation to kids with graphic images of naked boys and girls masturbating, men and women having sex, and even things like this, and this, and this. If a dirty old man showed these things to a 10-year-old kid in a park, he'd be arrested. But when Planned Parenthood shows them to kids in a classroom, it gets government money. But that's just the start. Once they get to high school, you know, right about the time that they hit puberty, Planned Parenthood tells vulnerable teens stimulating and intimate things about sex. Just look at what its website for teens says. The link to Our Bodies takes teens to a page that provides graphic displays of genitals and tells them about how pleasurable the clitoris is and how pleasurable breasts are to touch and massage. This section, on sex and masturbation, encourages boys and girls to masturbate and tries to dispel any embarrassment or hesitation in trying it. It also describes orgasms and encourages anal sex and oral sex. This section, titled LGBTQ, tells young teens that all sexual orientations are perfectly normal. The page on homosexuality, titled Coming Out, displays a teenage boy in an intimate pose with what appears to be an adult man. This section explains how to have gay sex using a condom, dental dam, and even plastic wrap. And for their viewing pleasure, Planned Parenthood's got a few things for teens to watch.
There's a penis on my body. Awesome!
Being gay is a little like being left-handed.
Any protection?
Yeah, of course.
Amen.
Now this is a clitoral hood. See it?
Now the rock better ring a rang dong. This is how the penis and vagina get along.
Go penis, go penis.
Winky trumpet curtain, Captain Winky song.
Time to go inside and find out.
Inside the vagina?
Calm down, Pete. You're leaking again.
It's bad enough that Planned Parenthood is conditioning children to engage in sexual activity with the kind of stuff that we've just shown you. But Planned Parenthood of Upper Hudson's youth program, which includes children as young as 13, requires participants to be exposed to sexual deviancy on parade. Literally. Planned Parenthood of Upper Hudson's application form for the STARS program for high school kids states that students as young as 13 are required to attend Capital Pride. Capital Pride? Here's a sampling of what these kids were exposed to. Is it any wonder that 1 in 4 teenage girls has an STD? All this exposure to sex takes place before graduation from high school. When these kids go to college, they'll be bombarded with sex-themed parties put on by Planned Parenthood Vox groups. Here's a brief look at some of the different ways Planned Parenthood spills its pornographic material to undergrads. Like this poster of a penis monster attacking a naked girl in a condom bubble. Is this image from a Vox party something that Planned Parenthood considers medically accurate? Here's Planned Parenthood doing its part in reducing men and women to sex objects. A party with no pants and free safe sex kits? That just screams date rape. Maybe a Planned Parenthood sex workshop about pleasure, desire, and orgasms is more age appropriate. At least your sons and daughters can enjoy the vulva puppet show and leave with a free sex toy. What Planned Parenthood education booth would be complete without a fisting kit for homosexual college and teenage students? But hey, America can sleep well knowing that its tax money is being put to good use, right? This is what Planned Parenthood is all about. Get the kids addicted to sex so it can sell them birth control. When teens catch a sexually transmitted disease, it sells them testing services. And when a young girl gets pregnant, it sells her an abortion. This isn't education, it's indoctrination intended to drum up Planned Parenthood's abortion business. Help us break the cycle. Go to American Life League's Action Center to find out what you can do to stop the madness. For American Life League, I'm Michael Hitchborn.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Welcome back to Reese on the Radio. We are live right here, 26 minutes after the hour on ReeseOnTheRadio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. And it is February the 22nd, 2012. The number is 347-308-8701. www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. And is ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. Send your emails. All right. So, I wanted to make sure I spent at least like a good hour and a half on Planned Parenthood. But there was another story in the news. I haven't seen either one of the movies yet. But that doesn't even matter. The question is whether or not there is actually propaganda happening in Hollywood that is trying to indoctrinate our children. Now, there's this new Dr. Seuss movie that's coming out called The Lorax. Now, I gotta admit, I didn't read this book. I was not a big Dr. Seuss fan. I can't remember one Dr. Seuss book, maybe Cat in the Hat, I think. I don't know how it ends. I do know the cat. I know there's a cat in a hat. That's what I know. It's not much that I know. But this new movie, The Lorax, we know that it's about trees and how, you know, big government and big entities took down all the trees and all the trees are gone and tree this and tree that. This argument was also made about the Muppet movie because the villain is a big oil guy. And there's this whole thing that suggests that Hollywood is attacking big industry. And it's teaching these kids sort of Occupy Wall Street tactics. Now, look, I know I can't really say anything until I see the movie, so why criticize it? But it seems as though everybody else is talking about it. Now, the Muppet movie, look, the villain was a guy who was a big oil guy. It's a big oil manufacturer or whatever. Big oil company. And it's been said over and over again that this is what Hollywood tries to do. They try to demonize and demagogue what it is that they don't believe or what it is that they don't agree with. Now, why is it that people think that oil and trees need to be protected or stopped and protected? Why is it that people believe that there's an assault on trees? Well, now, I'm going to ask my crew. James, do you believe there's an assault on trees?
An assault? I wouldn't call it an assault. I'm just saying that... It's just that, you know, these things, you know, we've lost most of our rainforest. There's no responsibility. It's just cut it down, get it done, and we'll worry about the planet later. I wouldn't say there's an attack on trees, but it's just saying that, you know, to replenish, there's more of an impetus to just raise them and just keep moving instead of replenishing what they're taking from.
Okay, so if I were to ask the question, has tree growth happened in the United States? What do you think is the answer I would get?
I'm not real sure. I don't know how to answer that question.
So
what do you mean, has tree growth?
Yeah, in other words, have our forests grown in the United States?
Yeah, some of our forests have grown in the United States, but a lot of our forestry has been cut down in order to build.
I don't think anybody can hear you.
I heard her.
Oh, you did hear her. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I guess my mic is a lot better now. So you believe that industry has taken our trees away?
Yeah. Well... yeah, it
really?
Has.
For what?
And we need trees.
Really? Really? Have trees really gone in the U.S.?
Yes.
Really?
Have they not?
No. They've grown.
Have they grown more rapidly?
Yeah, sure they have.
Than we tear them down?
Sure they are.
Show me the numbers.
I'm going to get the numbers for you now. I'm almost certain that forests have grown in the U.S. In fact,
well,
here's a story. Hold on. Here's a story about forests in the eastern United States. Forests in the eastern United States are growing faster than they have in the past 225 years.
And why is that?
That means that they're growing more trees, James.
Right. Because, again, because there was a big push on saving them. Before, it was just, we'll deal with it later. And then there was a big push. Now the trees and the forests are coming back.
So here's my question. Then why are we still moaning about it in movies and environmental propaganda?
Well,
movies and environmental, propaganda.
Yeah, yeah. If the trees are growing more than they have in 235 years, what does it say, 235 or 255? 225 years. If they're growing faster than they ever have in 225 years, why would environmentalists, and an environmentalist is a basically new idea. What is it, 30, 40 years old? That means the argument's over, right?
No, but what is the comparison rate between the growth and the tear down?
Hold on. The bottom line is, that they're growing faster in 200 than they have in 225 years before there ever were environmentalists.
But at what rate are we tearing those trees that have been growing down?
No.
How many of those
they're talking about forests. The forests in the eastern United States are growing faster than they have in 225 years. Bottom line is, if they're growing faster than they have in 225 years, that leaps and bounds past the environmentalist society in this country. And here it is, where we're growing trees faster than they are in 225 years. Why would all the propaganda? That would discredit...
Well, couldn't you attribute the growth to environmentalist agencies and organizations?
Good. Then why are we still arguing that pollution is on an upswing?
Because it is.
Because we're still manufacturing at an alarming rate. I mean, progress... And getting things done faster, quicker, and better. Still, we still go through a whole lot of our natural resources. Really,
you know,
we
find a lot of ways to do things a lot cleaner.
Okay.
We found ways to do things a lot cleaner. How the hole in the ozone layer is repairing itself.
Do you really believe that?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
According to published reports, if environmentalists are really, really doing their job and the forests are growing faster than they did in 225 years, wouldn't the bottom line be now you can shut up?
I don't think so, because, again, there would still be the penchant that, okay, since it's growing now, we don't have to worry about it, and then we sort of cut ourselves right back into the problem again.
But, okay, so you're saying that keep promoting the propaganda so we can keep growing more and more trees, even though they're growing faster than they have in 225 years. That's not enough growth?
Well, faster than 225 years, okay, that's 225 years. But as, but like what Mary was saying, what is the difference between what we're cutting down and what's being raised?
What are we cutting down?
I haven't heard that.
We're cutting down trees to build condos and to build apartment complexes and to
build. You mean for lumber? You talking about for lumber?
No,
we're flattening
areas for.
You're saying that we're cutting down trees so we can build communities.
Yes.
Like we're cutting down the woods and all that other stuff. And
yes.
All of these forests that those aren't forests. It's not the definition of a forest.
The synthetic in its particle.
Listen.
Yeah, and most
a lot of,
that
is synthetic.
A lot of that is synthetic.
Do you not watch HGTV?
Listen. Oh my God.
Tell him, JC, please.
I watch it faithfully.
And that wood is what?
It's particle.
That's correct.
A lot of it is. How,
particle wood
I mean,
does not grow leaves.
What's that?
Particle wood does not
He's
grow leaves.
He's saying particle wood that's being used on these houses.
But they're flattening out areas that have trees. These huge
so
areas
what?
That have trees.
But so what?
And they're not rebuilding those. You're taking away the animals' habitat, their natural
listen,
habitat.
Listen, back when, but listen, Mary.
And we not understand that trees promote oxygen?
Yeah, no, I understand that by environmental.
Well, that's good, but listen, Mary, Mary dear, 225 years ago, 250 years ago, when houses were made simply of wood, we tore down more than we do today. Because that's all the houses were made of back then.
Very good, JC.
But back then, there weren't nearly as much, the population wasn't nearly of what it is today, so you could afford to do that.
But the compensation comes in the fake materials. I mean, listen. Had the World Trade Center been built out of this lumber that you cry about, I wouldn't have flew a paper plane into it.
There you go. Here's another question. On another aspect of the story, try this on for size. Now listen. The environmentalists are also going after big oil companies. Now, Mary, you drive. James, you drive. Gas prices are skyrocketing. Yet they do not want domestic drilling of oil off our shores. Is that a good thing?
It doesn't make any sense.
But the environmentalists don't want us drilling off our shores. They believe that oil hurts the economy. I mean, hurts our ecology.
Well, it does.
How?
But if you do it safely, it won't.
Get
really?
On your bike. Drive your bike to work.
Drive your bike to work.
Yeah, and then maybe I could cut my traffic, sitting in traffic down to a half an hour versus an hour and a half every day.
James, do you believe that we should not have domestic drilling in the United States?
No, I've never agreed with that.
So you believe that we should drill more?
I believe we need to stop with our dependency on other people's oil, yes. And we have an abundance here that we're just not using.
Why aren't we using it?
Well, as we like to call them, a bunch of tree huggers said we can't do it.
Yes, that's correct. A bunch of tree huggers say that it's not safe and it can hurt the environment. And when the President of the United States gave the EPA governmental powers, they were able to pass legislation to force oil companies to shut down. The reason why we are not drilling more domestically off the coast of California, in the Gulf, and on the eastern seaboard is because each and every one of those oil refineries were shut down in the past 2 years. And gas prices have been skyrocketing. But yet, Hollywood has been producing films calling big oil companies and American oil companies villains.
So you have to have a villain.
How can
but you don't have a story if you don't have a villain.
We need to have a villain?
Look, it's Hollywood. It's a movie. Either
we got a villain or we got this Sound of Music.
Listen,
just have a happy
God.
Story.
There was
you
really
a villain. Sound of Music would work today?
You don't think the Sound
and
of Music...
Actually, wait a minute. The Sound of Music did have a villain. It was the Nazi Party.
Thank you. I was about to say the Sound of Music had villains. They were the Nazis, yes. Bottom line is this. Why is Hollywood teaching our children that big oil companies are the villain?
Oh, my God. You know, I don't believe that Hollywood is trying to teach our children that. Come on, man. And now you're seeing conspiracies everywhere. It's a movie, right?
Well, wait a minute. Children believe...
They took the fish and happy feet.
Come on, James. You don't believe that Hollywood is trying to indoctrinate our children through narrative? Come on. Listen, JC, can you do me a favor, please? Please, I can't find this video. Steve Martin, in a movie called The Grand Canyon, okay? All right? In a movie called The Grand Canyon, he's riding in one of those golf carts with Kevin Klein, and he's talking about movies. And I'm going to paraphrase what it is he says, JC. If you could find the audio. He says, listen, 85% of the reason why people go to movies is because they find some truth in it. That's the reason why people go to movies, because they find something. It answers problems to their own lives. And when children go to movies, they find lessons to be learned in their movies, in those movies. When you watch those movies, they teach you about lessons. I can take every movie, and I'm talking about popcorn movie, James. Let's take a movie like Lethal Weapon. In the series of movies, episode one. Yeah, watch. Lethal Weapon, episode 1. What was the narrative in episode 1? The narrative in episode 1 was about suicide. Martin Riggs was having a problem losing a spouse and wanted to kill himself. And how he found redemption and was able to carry on. And he found a new family, a new life. Episode 2. Episode 2.
Then what can you say the narrative wasn't about suicide? It was about grief.
Hold on. Episode 2. Episode 2 was about what? Apartheid. Remember? Diplomatic immunity. The whole episode was about apartheid. They were making a social message in that movie. Episode 3. Murtaugh kills a young gangbanger. And the movie is about hollow point guns that are cop killers. And it talks about the rising violence in gangs. Episode 4.
Excuse me.
It's about, hold on. Episode 4 is about the Chinese family. When Murtaugh says, I'm freeing slaves. And it's talking about Chinese work labor. The Chinese labor. So each and every one of these movies, these are popcorn films. These are action comedies. And they have a Hollywood narrative. Go ahead, JC. Go on.
What's the name of this movie?
Grand Canyon stars Danny Glover, Kevin Kline, Steve Martin. Can't remember who else is in the movie. But those are the three main actors in the film. Oh, Alfred Woodard.
Okay. Can I just say something?
Go ahead.
Because the movies you just said are R-rated, were they not?
No, they were, they were probably R-rated. But you name the movies. Hold on.
What kids were seeing these?
You name a movie. I'll tell you the social. I'll show you the social ramification. The social message in every one of those films.
Finding Nemo.
Oh, goodness gracious. It's about a young boy being able to go on his own. And to be independent. He had an overprotective father. The little Nemo, finding Nemo, Nemo goes out on his own and he gets lost. And at the end of the movie, his father finally allows him to go out on his own and grow up. What do you think that movie's about? That's a message to kids. He's telling his father that he's old enough to go out on his own, and his father's too paranoid because he doesn't want to lose him. Social message. Message.
Social message. All I'm saying is, man, there is not a movie in the world that you're going to find that doesn't have some type of social message. Otherwise, it's not a movie.
That's my whole point, James, and the idea that you are only proving now is what I just said. Is that if you don't think that the Muppets movie, which makes an oil baron a villain, or a movie like The Lorax, which talks about the destruction of trees and how we need to find the last tree, doesn't have a social message to it, you've got to see the movie, how they depict these big giant...
But you haven't even seen the movie.
All I saw need to see was the trailers, when they have these big giant SUVs driving through town and there are no trees anywhere. It's talking about a message. So kids can go out and go, when they hear stories about how trees are getting torn down, they can sit up there and go, remember the Lorax? We need to save the trees. It's indoctrination, James.
It's indoctrination. Okay, so let's just kill the whole... industry, the whole movie industry. I mean, what's your alternative?
Do real stories about real people without the narrative, without the social narrative.
Once again, you can't have real stories about real people without a social narrative because live socially.
No. Excuse me. That's, first of all, a narrative is opinion-based. It's not based
narrative
on...
Narrative is opinion-based?
Sure it is. That's a narrative, James. It's opinion-based. It's saying that this is the way that we need to live. It's telling people how we need to live. That's what a narrative is.
Last question, if I could.
Go for it.
What was the scene?
It's near the end of the movie after he gets shot. Steve Martin gets shot. He's back in the movie studio, and Kevin Kline is driving him around in a golf cart, taking him to the studio. And at the end, they're having a discussion about how he's not going to stop making these silly action flicks anymore. Steve Martin says, I've changed my mind. I'm going to make everything that I made. And then he gives this speech about how 85% of people go to movies to solve the problems of their lives. Something like that.
Okay, all right.
I think he's finding it. You have to hear this piece, James, because it's very, very true. It's the reason why people go to movies. We all go to the movies because we find our own meaning of life through them. We live through them. But when we have the movie telling us how we're supposed to think, it's different. Sometimes we watch a movie and we watch the story that's there, and we identify with the character in some sort of way, especially in dramas. We identify with the characters. You know, the character's multifaceted. You know, he's a good guy. He's got a good heart, but he does bad things. Those are the type of movies that I identify with. You know, the guy who's, he's a good guy, but he's torn because what's right and what's righteous and what makes him angry. And he wants to be a good guy, but he's torn because he's been so scorned in his life. I like those kind of movies. But the movies that tell us how to live, those stories that indoctrinate us, those are the ones that I don't like. And by the way, Nemo had a handicapped fin. That's why his father had a problem with him going out into the world.
Wow. How do you leave the house every day? I don't understand.
Stop it. Come on now. Stop it.
It's hard for me to leave the house because the world is a screwed up place, and they're all out to get you.
Stop it.
I'm kidding. Go ahead.
So are you giving us a narrative?
No.
So I guess we should turn you off too.
No. I'm saying that if they're doing it to our children, it's a sad day today that we do that to our children. Our children should be able to make up their minds on their own. We can't be telling children how to think and feel. We can't do that. We have to let them. What we want from our children is for them to be critical thinkers. You don't want that for your child?
Yeah, but I want that for my child. But my child knows the difference between a movie and reality.
No, not true, man. Not true. Because what they're being is brainwashed.
What do you mean not true?
Not true. Your children don't know that. All they know is that they're being told something.
No. Wait.
You don't. Wait. You're saying that your child. Okay. You're saying that your child doesn't watch a movie where the oil guy is a bad guy, and they don't see when they see on TV or they see smokestacks. Like, there's this scene in the Lorax movie where off in the distance there's this factory with smoke coming out of it. And it's a very, very gloomy scene. Very ominous-looking factory. That a kid doesn't see that, and he's walking down the street, and he sees that down the street. He sees a smokestack with a factory that's very, you know, darkly lit, and the smokestack's coming out, and the kid doesn't identify but what he saw in the movie and that factory.
Well, what happens is when you see something to the extent that you see it in a movie or on TV or whatever, it affects you. It imprints
you.
In your
right.
brain.
Right. It's meant to be impactful. That's the reason why the kids go. That's the reason why they buy toys. That's the reason why they watch cartoons.
I think that that's with everything. Just like when they see their parents do something. That it's imprinted.
Right.
It's everything in life.
Which,
it's not just
of
movies.
Of course. That's my whole point. Of course it's everything in life. And what I'm saying is that Hollywood should not be forcing this narrative on our children. I think it's unhealthy.
But we're forcing, but my parents force bad narratives on their...
No. Okay, but if you're a horrible parent forcing false ideals or false narratives on your child, then that's you. But you have the right to do that as a parent. Our Hollywood movies don't have that right.
I don't think you have that right to do that as a parent either, but, you know, life is
what it is.
Well,
if you want your child to follow your ideals, that's the reason why you have a child. You want them to follow your ideals.
Not if you're a crackhead.
Well, no, your good ideals, okay? I'm not saying bad ideals. Good ideals. Of course not crack.
But who's to say what's good and what's bad?
Well, come on now, James.
There's a simple answer to that, man. Everybody has an innate knowledge of what's good and what's bad, dude.
I understand that. But, again, all right, if you're going to say that you have no right to say so, or other people don't have a right to say so to your child, then you can't just blanketly say what's good and what's bad either, because then you're making a narrative.
No. What I'm saying is that whatever the parent's narrative is, I am no way suggesting what a parent's narrative should be. I'm not saying that they should follow my narrative. What I'm saying is that when you teach children about the world, that should be left to the parent. I don't think that we should be indoctrinating our children through film. And there's a clear agenda in Hollywood to teach children a certain way. That's what I'm saying.
No.
And these two movies are perfect examples of it.
To hell with Hollywood and Planned Parenthood.
JC, any luck? I'm promising you it's at the end of the scene when he drives him and he finally gets to the studio where Steve Martin is getting out of the scooter. Do you see it?
And he gives him the story.
And he tells him the story. He says to him that 85% of people go to movies. He says something about that. Do you see that part?
JC?
I'm there. I just recorded that whole scene. And we're at the end of the drive now.
Okay, you're at the end of the drive right now?
Yeah.
Okay, can you play it?
I just want to upload it.
Oh, you're going to upload it?
Record it. Yeah.
Okay, how soon till it's uploaded?
I just need a few minutes.
Okay, all right, no problem. All right, what we'll do is we'll take a break. We'll see if we can come back. If not, if we don't have it by the end of the break, what we'll do is we'll show it. We'll play it at the top of the hour. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I'll then show you guys exactly what it is that I'm talking about. You'll understand it. It's a very, very important line in this movie. It's called Grand Canyon. Anyway, when we come back, it's Reese on the Radio.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
And what do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
Feeling that way? You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois. It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birthday. Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on DogTalkRadio.com.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Thank you.
wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times? Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it! Grab it!
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you. Reese.
Just after 9 o'clock, 9:01 Eastern Standard Time, 1 minute after the hour, this February 22nd, 2012. The number is 347-308-8701. And we're going to get into this story about this parent, sadly, who's going to jail. She's going to go to jail for a considerable amount of time. And what she did is sad. What she did was sad. She had to do it. Well, no, that's not true. Let me rephrase that.
What she's going to jail for is sad.
Yeah, what she's going to jail for is sad. What she did, you know, somebody's got to pay the price. But we're going to talk about whether or not that was it was right. She paid the correct price. That's the bigger and better question. We'll go into that a little bit. JC, how are we doing? Do we have any luck with that audio? Because I want James to hear it. And, of course, I've stretched the whole line out. It's a lot shorter than I remember. But you have the audio?
Yep. I'm just looking for it up in our queue.
Do I need to refresh so I can get it in the queue?
Yeah.
Okay. I will refresh, and I will pick it up in the queue a little bit. So that I can actually put it. James, I'm sorry, James. I apologize. Let me put you back on. Are you there? James? I guess not. Well, this is the audio. This is the clip that I was talking about.
That's part of your problem, you know. You haven't seen enough movies. All of life's riddles are answered in the movies.
That's it. All of life's riddles are answered in the movies. That's, you know, that's the reason why we go. So, of course, there's people are going to take advantage of that when they go to the movies. Now, Mayor, I'm going to have to ask you to come to listen to this audio. And because this was shocking. We talked about this probably a little over a month or two ago. JC, when did we talk about this story about this parent?
Yeah, and I think week one.
That had to be week one we talked about it.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, you'll remember it. You'll remember it because it was very early on in the show when we talked about it. And just listen to what happened.
Tanya McDowell is accused of lying about living here in Norwalk so she can enroll her son in the Norwalk Public Schools. Well, today she was inside Norwalk Court where she found out how much time she's going to serve.
You're pleading guilty because you are guilty.
Yes, Tanya McDowell, who is already in custody, told a judge she is guilty of stealing her 6-year-old son's education. Prosecutors say she lied and said she lived in a Norwalk homeless shelter so she could get her son into the school district in 2011, but she really lived in Bridgeport. Prosecutors say they found her Bridgeport address on many official documents.
The state also obtained probation records and car registrations, both indicating an address of 66 Priscilla Circle in Bridgeport.
McDowell will get a 12-year sentence for the stolen education charge, as well as four other counts of selling drugs in Norwalk. in the plea deal. McDowell has to serve the first 5 years in prison, and then she will be released with strict probation conditions, including having to pay back up to $6,200, the amount the city says she took by illegally enrolling her son in their school district. McDowell's attorney says his client's son is the one feeling the brunt of this.
Her son still thinks his mother stole the Norwalk school, and that's the sad part. He's with his grandmother, and she's doing the best she can to raise him.
McDowell's defense in the case has been that she was basically homeless and spending time at friends and homeless shelters in both cities.
I think you should measure her not by the fact that she was arrested for selling drugs, but what has she done for a child?
In addition to the charges here in Norwalk, she also faces charges involving drugs up in Bridgeport. Today she found out that she will also serve 5 years for those crimes, which she will serve at the same time. In Norwalk, Robert Goulston, Channel 3 Eyewitness News.
And so that's the story. So she steals her child's education by enrolling him in another town. She's homeless. She also has a drug charge. She will serve both sentences concurrently. She will only spend 5 years in jail, but she's sentenced to 12. And she will undergo strict probation. Now, James, did you hear the audio by chance? And that's a no. James
huh?
is dead. Oh, I said, did you hear the audio about the parent?
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Really? Are you kidding me? Where I can't believe that they're almost trying to downplay the drug charge.
What do you mean they're downplaying the drug charge? I'm not. Oh, in other words, they're saying the drug charge was nothing compared to
stealing the education.
Stealing the education.
The
fact is, she wanted to put her son in a better school. This is not such a big deal, and that is worse than selling drugs.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, in fact, the drug charges will be served concurrent. That is interesting.
Well, if I can jump in here for one moment.
Please, please.
Being a resident of this whack state.
Ain't nobody
it is, it is.
There.
I'm always born here. I love it still. Mm-hmm. But before she got any of the drug charges, not to say that doesn't excuse anything, or nor am I making excuses for her. She was arrested for the school first.
Right.
The drug charges came later. Why was she arrested? I mean, she was arrested because she lied about for stealing what they say is $16,000 worth of education because she said she lived in the Stanford.
She sells $6,200 worth of education.
No. That's what she has to pay in restitution.
So
wait,
she stole $16,000 worth of education?
Right. They estimated that $16,000. The thing is,
what happened to No Kid Left Behind?
Listen, that's my question. That's my question. How do you steal an education? She lied about living in Stanford, used a friend's address in Stanford to have her son go to Stanford.
Right.
While she, at the same time, she was living between shelters and friends here and there, pillow to post.
Right.
But most of her mailing and everything was going to Bridgeport address.
Right.
They deem that as her official address. Wherever you get your mail, that's where you live.
Right.
That's the state's laws. Now, Stanford is. What? Stanford is like how Bel Air is to Beverly Hills.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
It's like a suburb of Greenwich, Connecticut.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's called Stanford.
Was this a
private school or public school?
It was a public school.
Okay.
It was a public school.
Right.
But it was
and we're talking about, but we're talking to people that go to Stanford are in a very, 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 very well-to-do town.
Okay, it's affluent.
Yeah, very affluent. Very.
So because you're homeless, you can't go to an affluent school?
In essence, okay. So, okay.
But listen,
this
when I was growing up.
She made it worse on herself by selling drugs after. But I think that if they hadn't charged her with the whole school thing and just said, look, the kid can't go here no more, get him in another school and left it at that. I mean, how much damage could a four or five year old have done?
Well, here's
how much education could he have stolen?
Let me play devil's advocate here, and I have to take the side of the school board. Here's why.
Of course.
Let me listen to what I'm saying. Okay, the taxpayers in that community pay taxes for that school, and that's it.
Right, it's the law.
It's the law. In other words,
tell the people that play the lottery.
Hold on. If you live in town A, and your kids go to town A, everybody who lives in town A pays for your child and every child that lives in town A to go to that school. They're taxed appropriately for that school district. If somebody from town B brings an extra kid into town A, and you are paying for the town B's kid, that is a violation of the law. But that being said, I'm also going to make the same argument for illegals that come across the border and are getting education on the taxpayer's dime who don't belong here. See my point? So
that's a very valid point. I'm going to write that in the editorial.
Those people are at least deported. They're not sent to jail.
No, James, they're not deported. In fact, they try right now. This is what I'm talking about. With a very liberal state like Connecticut, here it is. They're charging this black woman for, as they put it, stealing education. But yet, this is the same state that would harbor illegals and allow them to get a free education on the taxpayer dole. You see the double standard here?
Where's the mayor that was going to go home and have tacos?
A couple towns over. A couple towns over. They share the same beaches.
But it's pretty obvious that this is a double standard. This is hypocrisy.
But that's in Connecticut. Only in Connecticut that something like this can go down. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it, but it was a case that made it to the Supreme Court. Chef versus O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
Kid named Milo Chef. His mother got Hartford schools integrated. He's now a failed rapper. I should have said that. He's a friend of mine. But no. He makes money because his CDs are in Walmart.
Okay.
Wow. With friends like
another kid that I went to school with, who owns a bookstore in Hartford.
Uh-huh.
And wow, I'm still saying too much. But anyways, another kid that I went to school with. We were living in Hartford on the Bloomfield line.
Mm-hmm.
Bloomfield is middle class.
Mm-hmm.
We were in probably lower middle class section of Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
If there is such a place. But he was going to Bloomfield schools. And his mom got arrested as well. They snatched him out of the Bloomfield school system. The distance that he was from where we lived to the Bloomfield town line,
mm-hmm,
was outside our back door and just over the fence.
You're saying that he was just literally a block away.
But who gets
not even a block away from the town line.
But who gets arrested for this? You just say, hey.
Only in Connecticut.
We've caught you. Your kid can't go to this school anymore. Wherever it is that you're living or whatever, your kid has to go to that school or you need to permanently change your address or whatever. Listen, we were born and raised in Jamaica, Queens on Parsons and Hillside. My options were PS 86 right next to Hillcrest High School. My sister's options, that was elementary. My sister's options for junior high school were 231, which if anybody knows about 231, 231 was not the greatest junior high to be going to. My aunt lived in Rosedale. My mother decides that she's going to transfer my sister and I to Rosedale. My sister's going to go to, what is that junior high school right by Springfield High School? What is that?
ISA?
217 was my sister's option.
217.
So instead of going to 217, she went to 231, which is right across the street from Springfield High School, right?
Uh-huh.
And I went even further out, had to take the bus, two buses, to get to school every day. I was in elementary school. I guess that's how bad my mother thought PS 86 was. I ended up going back and graduating from there anyway. My sister never did go back to 217 rather. But I mean, who arrests somebody for that? If you get caught, you say, okay, you know,
because you're stealing from taxpayers.
Yeah, but they
only
in
okay, Connecticut.
When we moved to Bayside, I graduated from PS 86, moved to Bayside, started going to IS 74, which was, you know, I mean, it's in a decent neighborhood, whatever. But my best friends were being bussed in.
That's a totally different thing. In this case, she had a child who was zoned to a school. She did not have that child go to that school, and she was using taxpayer money, which clearly is taken from that.
But
community.
How do you live in St. Albans?
You don't have a zone when you're homeless.
How do you live in St. Albans and come to Bayside to go to school?
It doesn't, well, because it's different in certain states and it's different in certain towns. I understand where you're coming from, but James, you and I know that you were zoned to a high school. When you and I graduated from 238, we were zoned to Andrew Jackson High School.
Right.
My mother graduated.
I spent most of my time in Cardoza.
But the bottom line is that's where it is. It's called zoning laws. If you break those laws, you know, your parent, especially if your parent is defrauding the government, and that's what they're doing.
Don't get arrested.
Connecticut's got whack laws.
Your kid can't come to this school anymore. Your kid has to go to the school where you're zoned.
Okay, your argument isn't so much
because think about it. Wait a minute. Now you're saying you're stealing from taxpayers, right? Okay. Besides this drug charge, aren't taxpayers paying more for this woman to be housed in a jail?
No, because she's got to compensate them, and
she's only got to that's only $6,200. You know how much it's going to cost?
$6,200, and that happens when she gets out of jail. How much are we spending to house this woman? Because we're not going to see that $6,200 until she gets back out.
And that $6,200, that's probably. I mean,
how much
does it cost to house an inmate?
Those
are Connecticut's whack laws. I'm going to write an editorial on that one based on what you said earlier. I'm going to have you repeat that to me later because I'm going to put it in a letter.
No problem.
We're talking about Connecticut. We're talking about a state that will arrest you if you pull into a McDonald's or any kind of restaurant drive-thru. Get your bag. If you eat a fry before you pull out of that parking lot or even pull over to park in the parking lot and eat a french fry or anything out of that bag, they will arrest you.
What?
Yes.
What are you talking about? They can't tell you what you can and can't do in your own car.
I'm telling you, Connecticut's
whack
law.
Are you telling me
that if you go to McDonald's and you say, let me get a Big Mac meal, whatever, and you
who goes to
you
McDonald's and not touch the fries the minute you get them?
And you don't get out of the drive-thru, but you're reaching in the bag and putting a french fry to your mouth, they can arrest you.
You have to leave
the
drive-thru.
If they're having a bad day and feels like it, goodbye.
What's the law?
Don't ask me the name of it. Listen, when you were in Hartford, remember Gary Craig, 96KCFM, Craig and Company?
Sure.
They went to, ironically, the same town, Bloomfield, Connecticut, which is north of Hartford, right down the street from where I used to live. And they challenged the law. And lo and behold, they got arrested.
Really?
Yes.
Wasn't that the same town or in the same general area?
What's so crazy and nuts is,
can you eat inside the McDonald's?
Yeah, you can eat inside the McDonald's. Yeah.
Can you carry out and eat a fry before you make it to your car?
You can't eat in a parking lot, period.
Why?
I think it has something to do with distractions and people getting run over in the parking lot.
James, this is long before airbags.
Who is running somebody?
Because I thought I heard something about that. But isn't that where, you know, a kid got a little kid on a bike got run over because God was pulling out of the drive-thru and hit a child or something like that?
No, hey, James?
Yeah?
Come to my state to put two pizza boxes on your arm and walk down the street and flap like you can fly. They'll lock you up. Not in a mental institution, but you'll go to jail because that's against the law.
Yeah, I know some actual laws like that in New Jersey. No, we should do that.
Listen,
I
can't believe that we have such laws in Connecticut when it was our charter, the old Hartford and Connecticut charter, that was the precursor to the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah,
it's bananas.
I believe it.
We had our charter in the 1600s. And if you read it, it reads exactly like the Declaration of Independence. And we have stupid law. I'm telling you, this state is something else. Hmm. Now, there's no reason why if the woman should be in jail. I think she should be forced to do community service to pay back the $6,200.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to cost us, like you said,
she should be in jail for selling drugs.
It's going to cost us more. No, they locked her up. They threw the drug charges in there. Basically for a reason and excuse to lock her up. Because they were going to do that to begin with.
I think you're right about that.
Are you saying that they threw her on the ground and sprinkled crack on her face?
They might have. Hell, and it's funny because in this state now, you get caught walking down the street smoking a joint, you get a ticket.
At least you only get a ticket. If you get stopped here in the state of Virginia with some marijuana, it is all over, baby. It is all over. They will suspend your drive. You could be walking. You could be in your house.
You have
car keys on you. They suspend your driver's license. And you know who that is thanks to?
Oh, who's that?
One of your all-time favorite presidents.
Who's that, Clinton?
Oh, Ronald Reagan.
Oh, whatever. I got no problem with that.
Well, now it's whatever.
Wash your mouth out with soap.
We'll take a break when we come back. We'll talk about something else. Stick around if you're ready.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message. There's Dr. Oz. There's Dr. Phil. There's Dr. Drew. There's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion. But I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem. You deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back live here, 27 minutes after the hour, on this February 22nd, 2012. And it's Black History Month. It's almost over. It's almost a wrap. It's almost over, damn it.
And then we go into, we leave Black History Month, and then we go into Hispanic History Month.
Is Hispanic History Month next month?
I believe it is in March.
Oh, well, thank goodness we don't have any Latinos on our crew. I don't need...
What are you talking about?
Necesito ayuda para bajar hasta se le cuente la graduación.
Mi nombre es María.
Yeah, whatever. Point of the matter is that we don't have any Latinos on the crew, so we don't have to worry about that. Let them celebrate that. But because it's near the end of Black History Month, I thought it was important to play some audio that was given by Representative Alan West. And Alan West is a Florida Republican. And he is probably one of the most brilliant legislators I've seen in a long time.
The 27th District, isn't it?
That's correct. Florida. And I wanted you guys to hear what it was that he had to say. That's only about 9 minutes long, so I'll keep the audio up. But I want my favorite Democrat, the Kool-Aid man, to hear this. And I want to get some insight about what it is that you hear. Okay?
Alrighty.
James, you really have to pay attention now.
Thank you.
It's actually a very good speech. I watched it on TV. It's a very good speech.
Okay.
In commemoration of Black History Month, I rise to acknowledge the Republican Party's proud and storied history of standing up for the rights of African Americans. The first black members of Congress served during Reconstruction, and they were all Republicans. They won their seats despite fierce threats against black voters by groups like the Ku Klux Klan, and were successful only as a result of the firm support they received from the Republican Party. One of these members was Josiah T. Walls, a slave who earned his freedom through service to the Union in the Civil War. He settled in Alachua County in our sunny state of Florida and was repeatedly elected to Congress at large. In some ways, Mr. Speaker, I carry the torch of Josiah Walls. You see, in 1876, the Democrats contested his election and had him replaced midterm with one of their own. No black Republican would again be elected from Florida to this House until November the 2nd of 2010, when the voters of that state entrusted me to be their representative. On my desk in my office, there was a book called Capital Men, and it's a biography of those first black members of Congress. I stand where Josiah Walls and the other early black Republican members of Congress once stood. Hiram Revels of Mississippi, Benjamin Turner of Alabama, Jefferson Long of Georgia, Robert DeLarge, Robert Brown Ellicott, and Joseph Rainey, all of South Florida, of South Carolina. They were the ones who carried that first torch for my colleague, Tim Scott. They would have stood here urging support for policies of equal opportunity for all. Mr. Speaker, I stand here this evening to recognize their legacy. The Republican Party has always been the party of freedom. Today, we understand that our principles are best served when we act as stalwart advocates of free markets. But historically, Republicans understood that the value of every human life is diminished when any life is made to work against its will. Free markets are characterized by the free exchange of goods and services and by the free exchange of labor for compensation. See, Mr. Speaker, without free people, there can be no free markets. Where men are not free, freedom does not reign. And so the Republicans have always been the party of free men, of individual freedom. It was Abraham Lincoln, the president, the father of the Grand Old Party, who signed the Emancipation Proclamation and brought about the freeing of the slaves. For many, this is the beginning and the end of the Republican Party's role in advancing equal rights. But that understanding misses the myriad ways our party went on to better the lives of black Americans and cheapens the many contributions that later generations of Republicans made to the cause of freedom. It was, in fact, Republicans of their day who worked to pass the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th Amendments, securing for African Americans deliverance from slavery, equal protection under the law, and the right to vote. Each of these accomplishments did its part to cement the fundamental freedoms all Americans enjoy today. None of them could have gotten off the ground without GOP support. Take the 13th Amendment, for example. At Abraham Lincoln's request, the Republican National Committee Chairman, Edwin Morgan, made abolishing slavery an official part of the party's platform in 1864. At that year's National Convention, he opened with a statement on the topic. He said, "The party of which you, gentlemen, are the delegated and honored representatives will fall far short of accomplishing its great mission, lest among its other resolves it shall declare for such an amendment to the Constitution as will positively prohibit African slavery in the United States." The 14th Amendment was no different. A little-known fact about that law that granted black American citizenship with all the rights and privileges thereof is that every vote in favor was cast by a Republican, and every vote against was cast by a Democrat. And in 1968, when the Democrat-controlled legislature of New Jersey voted to rescind its ratification of the 14th Amendment, it was the state's Republican governor who vetoed that attempt. Mr. Speaker, it was the Republican-controlled 39th Congress that established the Buffalo Soldiers, a fighting force of six regiments of black American troops. They would soon become known for exhibiting the courage of a cornered buffalo in battle while posted to the frontier. In peacetime, they gained renown for being the finest horsemen the Army had to offer. And in 1907, the 10th Cavalry Regiment of the Buffalo Soldiers was sent to the United States Military Academy at West Point to teach the cadets riding skills and mounted drill. Mr. Speaker, think about that for a second. The commanders of that day, so confident in the ability of the Buffalo Soldiers that they entrusted them with the training of the next generation of Army leaders. And it was the Republicans who made that happen. It was the Republicans who passed the 15th Amendment as well. For once, the story is true that not every Republican supported it. A few abstained, saying the measure did not go far enough. It was the Democrats who put it against the 15th Amendment. And when it passed anyway, it was the Democrats who resorted to the use of poll taxes, literacy tests, intimidation, and other pernicious practices in an effort to keep black Americans from exercising their right to vote. And this was something that my grandparents and my parents experienced growing up in South Georgia. It was a Republican by the name of Senator Charles Sumner who got the Equal Rights Movement on its feet, a fierce abolitionist and leader of the Radical Republicans. Sounds very familiar when they start talking about Tea Party Republicans. Senator Sumner wrote and shepherded the first ever civil rights bill through Congress. It was a Republican president and the great general Ulysses S. Grant who signed it into law the same day that it passed. And that comprehensive bill, the Civil Rights Act of 1875, would become the blueprint for every subsequent piece of civil rights legislation to come before Congress, despite the fact that it was struck down by a backward-looking court. It was the Republicans who first called for racial justice in the armed forces, not only allowing black Americans to serve their country, but welcoming them to serve their country alongside their white brothers. It was a Republican judge named Elbert Tuttle who time and again ruled in favor of civil rights and who went on to order the University of Mississippi to admit its first ever black college student. It was a Republican Supreme Court justice who authored the decision in Brown versus the Board of Education that recognized racial segregation for what it was, a violation of the United States Constitution. And when a school in Arkansas refused to integrate, it was a Republican president in Dwight David Eisenhower who sent in the 101st Airborne Division to escort the Little Rock Nine to class. However, it was a Democrat governor in Orville Faubus, you may recall, who had tried to use his National Guardsmen to prevent them from enrolling. Mr. Speaker, Republicans were unfazed by the many Democrats, including John F. Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson, who criticized President Eisenhower's decision. Meanwhile, it was the Democrats in the Senate who filibustered the first Civil Rights Act of the 20th century, and the Republicans who managed to pass it nonetheless. The law established a Civil Rights Division within the Justice Department and authorized the Attorney General to request injunctions against anyone attempting to deny a person's right to vote. It was written at the behest of President Eisenhower after a long drought of civil rights bills under Presidents Franklin Delano Roosevelt and President Harry Truman. It was a Senate Minority Leader, Everett Dirksen, a Republican, who helped write the first Civil Rights Act of 1964. Widely regarded as the most influential of them all. And in
James?
Yes?
How's that for black history, my man?
I want to hear the rest of that.
That's all they put online, but you can find it on C-SPAN. That is Representative Alan West of, what was that, the 27th
I
district?
I think it's either the 22nd or the 27th district.
27th district in Florida. In Florida. An African-American Tea Party-supported representative who won his seat in the 2010 midterm elections, who gave that astounding black history lesson on the Senate floor of the United States of America.
Congratulations.
Well, congratulations. Oh, you know, okay, of course, congratulations are in order, James. But did you know any of that history, or would you say that that history has been revised?
I don't know about revised.
Really? I don't hear anybody. I don't hear anybody speaking about those people in the in any Black History Month a doctrine in our schools. I don't hear any of that.
Well, how long is the clip that you have?
I thought Kennedy was for the Black folks.
Everybody did, but it was, again, as I've always claimed, John F. Kennedy and Lyndon B. Johnson, who criticized Dwight Eisenhower for his sweeping legislation to give civil rights to African Americans, as according to the Constitution.
How long was your speech?
I think the speech was just over 10, maybe around 10, 12 minutes. But you can look it up. It's Representative Alan West.
I had the full speech then.
Huh?
I just found it in full.
Yeah, you got to get it in full, because I know a part of it was on YouTube, but it's definitely there. Now, wouldn't that really, really change the dynamic of African Americans and how they vote if they knew that part of their history?
I don't think so.
No?
I mean, you're still claiming that African Americans don't know it. I mean,
did you know it?
Actually, there were a couple of things there that I didn't know. Yes, not everything, no. But
did you think Kennedy was for the Black people?
I wasn't alive back then, so I couldn't tell you about Kennedy.
You weren't
I wasn't
alive
there.
Well, even though you weren't alive, it's taught often today that John F. Kennedy was one of the greatest presidents of the 20th century.
For civil rights.
And for civil rights. He was often touted for being a strong supporter of civil rights. And you know what Lyndon B. Johnson said? We got to pass that nigger bill.
I don't know. I don't see how this really affects my decision now. I know what I see nowadays and
so
here
voting,
and
so
right in front of
so
me.
You're voting for Barack Obama simply because he's Black.
I swear to God.
Oh, don't get upset. Well, what are your Democratic leanings because of? He hung up.
Oh, wow. Somebody was offended. I'm sorry.
He always gets offended.
Why did he hang up, though?
That's James for you.
Aw, James. I guess we're not...
Anyway, we'll recap. Let's recap. Of course, we talked about Planned Parenthood at length. You need to look up that video, how Planned Parenthood is targeting your kids. See that video for yourself in its entirety. And watch the images that are on there, and do please look up further and further information on exactly what it is that Planned Parenthood is doing to target children and teach them about sex, and what it is that they're teaching our children about sex. A very important thing to look up. We also talked about movies and how movies are affecting our children today. Most people don't agree with me on that, but there is an indoctrination that is happening with our young people and a lot of these children's movies. The two points that we made was the new film, The Lorax, and, of course, the Muppet movie. And I'm a big fan of the Muppets, and they've taken a political leaning. They've had political leanings, of course, since the passing of Jim Henson anyway, and I find that sad. But that's the state. And, of course, we also talked about the young woman in Connecticut who is facing or has been convicted. Did a plea deal. She'll serve 5 years of a 12-year sentence for
stealing her child's
education. Yeah, which is sad. And that's pretty much where we are at this point. Was there anything else that we needed to talk about?
Well, the guy from the lacrosse team.
Oh, was he convicted today?
He was convicted today.
What?
Yep.
He was found guilty.
Give me just a second. I have it right.
That was a story that everyone was watching about the
jurors reach verdict in Huey murder trial.
Yes.
George It's not Hewley. It's who is it? Hughley?
Hewley is what they've about.
Oh, okay, George Hewley found guilty of second degree murder in the death of Yardley Love or Yardley Love.
Yeah. And people
hate that, clip I just uploaded.
Former University of Virginia lacrosse player is found guilty of second degree murder in the May 2010 death of his sometime girlfriend. Her name was Yardley Love.
Yeah.
Both were students at the university and accomplished lacrosse players.
Yeah. And they were trying to suggest that she died of asphyxiation because she was drunk, as opposed to him strangling her, which is, I think, what they were trying to prove.
Well, maybe she was drunk and he strangled her.
Yeah. Let's see this new audio. Hold on.
Hello, this is Calandra, not your mother, Anna Bomber. And guess what, people? I love President Obama. Yes, I do. I love President Obama. And guess what? I voted for him. Do you want to know why I voted for him? Do you want to know why? Because he's black. He's black. Yes, I said it. Yeah, I voted for him because he was black. Yes, I did. And guess what? I'm going to get me some health care. Showed up. I don't know why you're looking at me. You need to be at work so you can pay for my health care. I love it. Yes, I do. I'm getting health care. I ain't got no job. I love America. I love me some America. Me and my seven children, all seven of my children are going to get some health care now. Showing up, sign the bill, honey. Sign the bill. So, anywho, that's all I got to say about it. And if you don't like President Barack Obama, if you don't like him, then you is a racist. Yes, I said it. You is a racist. Uh-huh. Yeah, you are. Because you know what? President Obama is doing good by me. Now, yes, I can get sick now. So y'all keep going to work, making all that money, because your taxes is helping me and my children. All right, over and out. Thank you. I love America.
Where in the hell did you find that?
I bet you that's a white woman.
No, she's not.
Please tell me. It's got to be a parody. That has got to be a parody.
She sounded dead. She looked and sounded dead serious to me.
Whatever you do, forward that to me so I can see it. That is so hilarious.
My children. America. She says America. She's got to be from Maryland. Because that's how people in Maryland talk. I'm from Maryland, and they call me Murray.
I love the fact that she calls him Barack Obama. She doesn't even call him Barack. She's like, Barack.
And she's not stupid. She knows. Go ahead, sign the bill. Sign the bill.
What you looking at me for? Get to work. I need some health care.
That is classic. Oh, you said if you, yeah, I guess James would have been angry.
Oh my God!
We should have got that before.
Oh, we should have gotten that before. I gotta play it again.
Hello, this is Calandra, not your mother, Anna Bomber. And guess what, people? I love President Obama. Yes, I do. I love President Obama. And guess what? I voted for him. Do you want to know why I voted for him? Do you want to know why? Because he's black. He's black. Yes, I said it. Yeah, I voted for him because he was black. Yes, I did. And guess what? I'm going to get me some health care. Showed up. I don't know why you're looking at me. You need to be at work so you can pay for my health care. I love it. Yes, I do. I'm getting health care. Ain't got no job. I love America. I love me some America. Me and my seven children, all seven of my children are going to get some health care now. Showing up, sign the bill, honey. Sign the bill.
Baby.
So, anywho,
That's all I got to say about it. And if you don't like President Barack Obama, if you don't like him, then you is a racist. Yes, I said it. You is a racist. Uh-huh. Yeah, you are. Because you know what? President Obama is doing good by me. Uh-huh. Now, yes, I can get sick now. So y'all keep going to work. Making all that money because your taxes is helping me and my chillings. All right, over and out. Thank you. I love America.
You know what you got to get for me? You got to give me the audio because I got to get that part where she says, I L-O-V-E-I-T it. I love that. That's I love that. I want that. I need that sound bite. I L-O-V-E-I-T. I can't.
Hey, just to let you know,
yeah,
Representative Alan West's speech was 60 minutes and 35 seconds.
60 minutes?
16.
Oh, 16 minutes.
Yeah, they only gave him 30 minutes on the floor. He spent half of them. Wow, that is awesome. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to post that every day. My Black History Moment. Yes,
It's absolutely classic. It's absolutely classic. And,
it's brilliant,
you know,
and it's true.
And just the way he told the story, I mean, was brilliant. I'm not brilliant, but it was just, you know, it was touching the way that he spoke and everything. You know, the emphasis that he put on certain things and the way he vocalized himself.
Yeah, I'm proud of the fact that he was able to do that. When I saw it on Breitbart, that was where I first caught the video and started listening to it. I was amazed just watching it. And it's just like some of those things that you don't know, the small stories, those little stories that are never ever talked about. Imagine what that would do for so many young people if they knew that part of their history. And not just young people, but old people who had been, older people who had been
bamboozled.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's all the way to
No, because you know what? No. I can't say that because my great-grandfather, who died not too long ago, within the past 10, 12 years, he was a Republican.
Okay.
And a lot of these things he kind of taught me growing up. That's how I had known about what happened to our 40 acres and our mule.
Oh, yeah, the good old Johnson. Good old...
Yeah, Johnson.
Good old Andrew
Democrat
Johnson. Democrat
Johnson.
And it took them all away. Hey, did you hear about this HBO movie, by the way, Game Change, that's going to be coming out?
No, but I do have HBO.
Okay, well, all right. I want you to watch it when it comes on. The pretty much the movie Game Change was a best selling book that came out a couple of years ago. I read the entire book, and Mark Halperin, who's a writer for Time Magazine, was one of the writers. It was a bestseller. I had the hardcover. I read this book in its entirety, and it's a breakdown of the entire presidential election, and they break down. Three presidential campaigns, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama's, and John McCain's. And there was only a little bit dedicated to Sarah Palin. But HBO has decided to only take out from that book, bestseller, in that book we found out issues going on in the Hillary campaign, personal things about Barack Obama and how he felt about some of the things that were being said about him and how the Hillary campaign was attacking him. We also find out in the book how President Barack Obama was asked by Senator Harry Reid or told by Senator Harry Reid that he should run. And even lies like how Senator Harry Reid said that Barack Obama was a good candidate because he was a fair-skinned African-American who didn't speak in Negro dialect unless he needed to. There were such bombshells in this book about Obama's campaign. They saved it until after Barack Obama had won the election. But when you read the book, and the things that you find out are amazing. And there's a small section about Sarah Palin in the book. The entire HBO movie is about Sarah Palin. And she's barely a third of the book.
Well, she lashed out at the at the producers.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually looking at that now on Drudge Report, saying that she's lashed out. But and you know, again, why are we attacking Sarah Palin? She's running for nothing.
Yeah, I give her credit. I give her credit for someone who have lost. She kept her name out there throughout the throughout Obama's entire reign.
Yeah, but again, still the question. The woman.
She's a maverick.
No. The woman writes no policy. She makes no law. She's not even a governor. She's a former governor. She's just a private citizen. Why are people still attacking this woman?
Because she's an easy target.
No, I'll tell you why. Because they fear her.
Oh, come on, please.
Really?
Stop it.
You don't believe that?
No.
Why would you attack someone you don't fear?
Just because.
She's so.
Because
no
she's
sense.
She's an easy target
easy
for comedic things.
This movie's
she's,
not a comedic. This is.
Well,
a comedic
I don't know
part.
What they're doing, but I
but
mean.
Why would they be doing? Why would HBO dedicate? We're talking about A-listers here. Ed Harris is playing.
Well,
John
they're
McCain.
Probably.
Julianne
okay,
Moore's
so they're
Sarah
probably
Hill.
Doing that so that they
to
don't get
to discredit her.
Well, not so much to discredit her, but not to have to discredit Barack Obama,
but
which
why,
is the president,
again,
because
the
they're
going to
get
the
backlash
book
about
chronicles
that.
Chronicles the Obama campaign. It's a much more compelling story. I read this book.
And who wrote the book?
Mark Halperin, who's the he and another gentleman, and his name will come to me. But Mark Halperin is one of the writers. He's been all over the media. He's on MSNBC every day on Morning Joe. He's a writer for Time Magazine, but. The
okay,
HBO
the only thing that
movie?
I've been able to find
go ahead.
So far, especially on Netflix, it's called Game Changers. That's by Bloomberg.
But the movie is about Sarah Palin. But if you look at the movie talks about three campaigns, and it talks about Hillary Clinton, and it goes into Hillary Clinton's campaign in depth. It goes to the background of Hillary Clinton. It definitely goes into Barack Obama because the book is in essence about Barack Obama and how he was a game changer. Sarah Palin is not dominated in the book. But you don't believe that they're attacking somebody for the simple fact that they fear her?
I don't know what they fear her about. What would you fear her for?
To discredit her for any opportunity that she might decide. She knows that this woman had the best-selling book in August, okay? She had the best-selling book in August of 2010. The book didn't come out till November.
What did she write about?
She wrote about her life.
Oh, that's because women
but
love
again,
her.
But again, but the was that?
That's because women love
yes,
her.
Yes, because people. That's the whole
no,
point.
They
want
to be
see,
like
not
her.
Not
they
want to
wear
glasses
like her because she's pretty.
No,
and
Mary,
they.
Mary, not
but
only
so
that.
She has a fine
that woman,
husband.
That woman and her political career has done wonders for Alaska. You can't
the
knock her for it.
The woman left Alaska with a 68% approval rate.
But we're talking about
Alaska.
Alaska.
I knew you'd say that.
We're
so
talking
Alaska
about
doesn't exist?
Alaska. It's not that it
so
doesn't exist.
Mean?
Do you know that they only have, like, how many state troopers?
Well, okay,
to
wait, can I ask you a question?
Alaska?
Are you going to tell me that Rhode Island is more important than Alaska?
Rhode Island is just a little spit
but
on the map.
But is it important?
It's all important.
Okay, all of it's important. So why would you say it's Alaska?
Because it is Alaska.
Well,
I mean,
Rhode Island.
The residents in Alaska.
It's Rhode Island. What about Delaware?
Well, Connecticut.
Yeah, Connecticut's bigger.
We're a tiny state.
How many people are in Delaware? How about Maryland? That's a small little tiny state.
No, it's not.
Maryland's
not a small state. And don't forget to watch, P. Diddy is coming to Comcast.
Is he?
Oh, yes, he is. He's getting his own show.
Oh.
P. Diddy and...
I don't want any more P. Diddy, damn it. Talk about Sarah Palin. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow. Hopefully James will return.
As long as we're not talking about...
Yeah, he will.
As long as we're not talking about Barack Obama.
Oh, we'll call him back. So angry.
I texted him.
Did you?
Yeah, he hasn't even answered me back. There goes dinner this weekend.
Yeah, we were supposed to go see him. Ah, Jamie, it's all right. You'll
the
be
man is passionate. You can't knock him for his passion, though.
I love you anyway, Bill. It's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we love you, James. We care about
and
you.
And Mary's a traitor. As it makes you feel... Yeah, she's still a traitor.
A facilitator?
He's a traitor.
I'm a traitor.
You know, you betrayed the Democratic Party.
I sure did.
No, I didn't betray them. They betrayed me, and I woke up and smelled the coffee.
This is what David's going to do when we go visit him. Anyway, we'll see you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Reset Radio.
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. I gotta try that again.
He's back.
Hello, this is Kalander, not your mother, Unabomber. And guess what, people? I love President Obama. Yes, I do. I love President Obama. And guess what? And guess what? I voted for him. Do you want to know why I voted for him? Do you want to know why? Because he's black. He black. Yes, I said it. I said it again. I voted for him because he was black. Yes, I did. And guess what?